In Philemon, the 8th through 16th verses, the Apostle Paul continues his letter clarifying the nature and purpose of forgiveness. Much like how we pay attention to a container with instructions warning about fragile contents, so should Christians handle forgiveness with great sensitivity for themselves and for others. And now, Pastor Seawright continues with part two of his series on forgiveness with today's sermon entitled, Fragile, Handle with Care. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Holy Father, we come before you now. And Lord, that song just makes my mind go back to Calvary. Lord, all the things that you went through for my redemption, for our redemption. Lord, and then all of a sudden when the enemy thought it was all over, it put you in that tomb. Lord, that was part of the overall plan to rise again with all power in your hand. For the redemptive work, Lord, that you've done, we praise you right now, Father, and we thank you. And Lord, within that work lies our forgiveness. And that's what we are talking about today, Lord, through your word, through the book of Philemon, Father, about forgiveness. Lord, help us to be forgiving. Lord, we are in a world where folks are not perfect. So at one time or another, Lord, we're going to either have to be the forgiver or the one that is asking for forgiveness. So touch our hearts and our minds right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just a few housekeeping things. One is that we will not have communion on today because we're going to have a church meeting. I didn't want to just stretch the day out for you. Just trying to be conscientious of time. The other thing is that I'm seeing encouraging signs in Sunday school. And the numbers are going up, and I'm appreciative of that, and I thank God for that, and I just keep saying, please, please, please come out and break bread with us, get deeper with us, get that meat that you need, that protein that you need to keep going on in God's name. In addition to that, we will not have the Tuesday night Bible study for the next 2 weeks, I believe. But when it resumes, I hope to see you there. Amen. I'm working things out where I'll be coming out soon myself. Just trying to work some employment things out there. And I'll be on the bandwagon arguing with you all. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, expressing views with you all. Amen. So we just want to keep encouraged there as well. So I was approached, not approached, but I was asked a question last week. And the question was regarding the topic that we are discussing now. And when I was asked that question, all of a sudden I had a flash of brilliance. I said, what if we just from time to time answer a question from the pulpit that is relevant to the topic that we're talking about? So we're trying to set it up in a way where saints will be able to ask a question that's relevant to this topic or about the topic that we're talking about, and then we'll try to answer it from the pulpit. I went around and asked my Bible scholars yesterday. I posed the question to them, and I, in preparation to answer it before you all. And the question went something like this, and if the person can feel free, if I don't get the question right, they can feel free to chime in. I know they won't, though. But anyway, the question goes like this. What if you approach someone, right, and you approach them in love, and, you know, you correct them, you try to get it together, and you correct them, and all of a sudden, they are offended that you came on them, or they are offended in the process. Now, you did it in love and everything else, but they are offended in the process. And then all of a sudden, you know, what do you do? You forgive, you ask for forgiveness? Even though that was you trying to go and correct a situation in love. But all of a sudden it seemed like it had gotten worse because you came on them to correct the matter. That's a good question, isn't it? Yeah. Somebody said it's a great question. Well, I got with my biblical scholars and whatnot, and to surmise it, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but to surmise it is, you know, we go back and we look at the prophets in the Old Testament, and God assigned them a task of going and speaking the truth to leaders, speaking the truth to people, right? And they went and they approached these folks. And sometimes these folks did not accept the truth, right? They did not accept what message God was giving to them through this person. The prophets came in love. They came in boldness. They came as God wanted them to. They were following God's direction in this matter. And all of a sudden, the person, in some cases, wanted to kill them. Right? There was a prophet that went before Jezebel, and Jezebel said, what? I'm going to get you. Right? And he was on the run. See, the thing is that if you are faithful to what God is telling you to do, you're not going to please everybody. Right? You're not going to make everybody feel good. But if you are approaching someone in love and trying to rectify the situation, now you can say, hey, I'm sorry that you feel all different and everything, but this must be said. And then you know what you do after that? That's between you and the Lord. And we're going to hit on that a little bit more during this sermon. So we're coming from Philemon. Now, there is some discussion as to how you say his name. You might hear some people say Philemon. When I looked at it, it says Philemon. Okay? So Philemon, we're going to go with. All right. It says, therefore, from the eighth verse, it says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf, he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Forgiveness is a touchy topic. It's a touchy topic. When you purchase something, most times the instructions are in the container. But sometimes when you purchase items, there are directions on the outside of the container. And there are directions that say, this side up, or do not lay this side down, or fragile, handle with care, because it's something in there that you can mess up if you handle it any kind of way. Amen. That's a lot like forgiveness. Forgiveness is in that box, not with no instructions on the outside, but with plenty of warnings and buzzers and everything else on the outside telling you that you need to be careful with this process. Amen. Amen. All right. Thought I said something wrong already. I'm trying to be careful with this topic here. As Paul was. Paul was careful with this topic. And he was careful in his approach to this topic as well. Right? Notice that Paul, how Paul approached it. He said in verse 8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, right? Now, notice how carefully he did not come like a hammer on the situation, saying, based on my age and based on my position, I can tell you to do this. I can tell you to do that. Yet, what Paul did is what he did most times in Scripture. He used that moral suasion approach to leadership. Moral suasion, that's appealing to the morality of a person, right? Not trying to force a person to do something, but trying to influence him or her to do something. Not force them to do something. So Paul is looking for a willing consent in regards to this matter, not a response to his bossiness. And we have to be careful about that in terms of the area of forgiveness as to how we approach this thing, right? Like in Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 7 through 10, it gives an example as to should it be done by duty or should it be done by love. If you want to have this thing done by duty, it says, and which of you have a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and to eat, pretty much. Which of you, in other words, would have a servant, and you know that that servant is out there, and then all of a sudden he come in, do you say to that servant, hey, sit down, let me get you something to eat, huh? No. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? And afterward, you will eat and drink. Afterward, you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. I think not, right? So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Paul wanted a higher morale or motivation than that, right? Than just duty, right? Because what he called for is Philemon to show love. He wanted Philemon to be moved by love, which is a higher and more pure motive. Love. You know, it's hard to love some people sometimes. It's hard to love some people sometimes. And it's harder to love people who act up sometimes. Because when they're acting up, the last thing that they look in your eyes is lovable. Right? But we are called to love, saints, to love. One time or another, you know, we approach things as Christians like we with a supposed to attitude. Since I supposed to, right? I guess I'll go to church since I'm supposed to, right? I guess I'll go ahead and give since I'm supposed to, right? There's a higher motive, a motivation than that since I'm supposed to. I guess I'll help out in the ministry since I'm supposed to, right? Now, imagine approaching forgiveness like that. Since I'm supposed to forgive you, I guess I'll forgive you. Right? Since I'm supposed to ask for forgiveness, sorry. Can you accept that? It's got to be a higher motivation than duty, than since I'm supposed to, right? Forgiveness is serious, and it should be handled with care. Shouldn't be handled lightly, right? You could make a serious mistake approaching someone nonchalantly about this forgiveness issue, right? Like, oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Oftentimes I've seen folks like play and they're good friends and everything else, and they joke around a little too much, and then they say, girl, you know I was playing. You know I was playing, right? my fault, dog. You know we good, right? We good. Right? You play too much sometimes, and you deal with this thing or try to approach it lightly, it doesn't help the situation. It makes it worse, right? We got to be careful as to how we approach this thing, right? Paul also said, let me put something else in your mind, Philemon. Let me put something else in your mind. He called himself a prisoner. Now, we don't want to overlook that. He called himself a prisoner. In other words, Paul was saying, following Christ cost me. It cost me. It cost me my freedom at this time because I am writing this letter to you from prison. I'm a prisoner because I am a follower of Christ. It costs me, right? It's not an easy life. And at times, folks will hurt you. At times, folks will offend you, right? Sometimes you are confused as to if you're dealing with Christians or not sometimes, right? This life costs you. So he was saying, Philemon, as the forgiver, can you bear a cost for Christ in this situation? Can you bear a cost for Christ in this situation? Now, he was not putting Philemon in an easy situation here. Now, understand Philemon's predicament. He was an owner of several servants or several slaves at this time. Now, if he went too easy in this situation, guess what the other slaves or servants would do? They'd be like, oh, all I have to do is say I'm a Christian. And then all of a sudden I get off that easy. Oh, hallelujah. Right? If I can get off that easy, like Onesimus, right? But see, if he went too harsh, then all of a sudden what Paul said in Colossians, where he said that we are all equal, we are all on the same ground, there's no slave, no Jew, no Greek at all. I mean, what's up with that? You there is a slave to you the way you're treating him, Philemon, right? So if he went too hard, what would happen? If he went too easy, what was happening? See, it was a delicate situation that my man had to deal with. But he was also saying to Onesimus, the one that needed to ask for forgiveness, hey, can you bear a cost for Christ as well? Think about it. Because what he was telling Onesimus to do is, you know where you ran from? Go back and deal with your mess. Go back and face the music, so to speak, right? So it's no laughing matter that Paul was telling them or asking them to do. And we need to be very careful, I should say, about how we approach this thing of forgiveness. We need to be very careful. Don't like, you know, come my way, you done hurt me and messed all over me and you coming my way all like shucking and jiving like everything's cool and laugh. Who laughing? What's funny? I don't see me laughing right now. And you up here trying to, you know, smooth it over like nothing happened. Like some folks come up like, you know, they did the biggest mess up. And then all of a sudden, 2-3 days go by. They're like, girl, did you see on TV? You see BET Awards and everything else? And you're in your mind, you're like, I'm stuck at what you did. Right? I'm stuck at what you did, but you're trying to move on? No. Let's deal with this situation. You have to be careful as to how you approach it. Now, it's interesting, too, because I've also seen folks in Onesimus' situation where they are asking for forgiveness, but the one that they are asking to forgive them, they act like they have more attitude, and it seems like the situation is getting worse just because you asked forgiveness. They want to get even more mad. So when you say, I'm sorry, and then all of a sudden you're in an Onesimus situation, you say, I said I'm sorry. Why are you getting all bent out of shape and everything? Didn't I say? Well, forget you. And then the situation is worse. Then the situation is worse. You see what I'm saying? See, the point is, as someone else said, is in a fallen world, men abuse their privileges. So action that is motivated and controlled by love is the only solution. It's the only solution. Love is the only solution. If you do it by duty, you know what duty does sometimes? Sometimes you can do something and it can be done with the most cold, unemotional stance and way that you can do it. You know, if you give me food and you cook me, you can hook up my favorite breakfast, and all of a sudden Karen just went in there and hooked it up, and man, she gave it to me like, here, eat. Man, that food tastes a little different with that with that delivery. It tastes a little different, Karen. Should I trust it, Karen? You got to be careful with your approach, right? Got to be careful with your approach. But not only do you have to be careful with your approach, but sometimes you got to be a careful friend. You got to be a caring friend, right? A caring friend throughout it all. And that's what we see in verses 10 through 12. It says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. We talked about that. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Paul can be seen here as standing in the gap for a friend. Standing in the gap for a friend. If you were to read the King James Version, you would see the word beseech. And beseech means beg. Passionately beg in regards to trying to get Philemon to change his outlook, to change his view about this thing. Now, it's a plea, it's a call, if you will, as well, because not only are you pleading to someone, but you are pleading to them to do something. To do something. So in other words, it's a call. It's a call for action to do something. And Paul wanted him to change, like I said, his position and his outlook on Onesimus. Paul says, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And during my preaching of the gospel, I was the instrument that God used to import or impart the message of truth to Onesimus. And in exchange, what ended up happening is God worked through that message, and all of a sudden, Onesimus is saved. In other words, I have begotten a son in the gospel. I have begotten a son in the gospel. He is my spiritual son. That's what Paul is saying. And guess what? The funny thing is that Onesimus' name means profitable. It meant profitable. Now, so at some point in time, he must have been a very good person to have on staff for Philemon. And he was profitable. But I tell you what, after you have ran away from me and stole some of my money, more than likely before you ran, you don't look too profitable to me right now, right? And Paul was stating that as well. Paul said, although he may not be profitable to you at this time, he is unprofitable, yet you got to realize this change that took place. And this change that took place has now made him profitable. Profitable in the sense of being needed. See, Unprofitable means that you're not needed, that you're useless. But then all of a sudden, when you, after that conversion, he is needed, right? He is useful. And in fact, he's even necessary. He's even necessary to Paul at this point. And Paul is, once again, after that careful approach, is being a caring friend, standing in the gap at this time, and Onesimus needed a friend at this time. And he said, you know, Onesimus, you're going to have to go back, and you're going to have to face the music. Paul was not exonerating him at all. Paul still said, hey, you were wrong, but you're going to have to go back and deal with it. And the fact that Onesimus did decide to go back shows that he was truly converted as well, because he was willing to go back to deal with what he had to deal with. Amen? So all of this is showing Paul is in the gap, standing in the gap, not only for one side, but the other side as well. Unlike us at times, where when we are mad at somebody, we come on our friends, our mutual friends, and we pretty much come on them in a way where they have to pick one side or the other. You know what he did to me. You know what she said to me. And you're going to go and steal? Now, are you going to side with me, or are you going to side with her? But the Bible says in Psalms that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Jesus don't play that side stuff. He doesn't play that side stuff. He's going to do what's best for you, and he's going to do what's best for the other person as well. Amen? So we as Christians, we should not play that side game. We need to play, if anything, a restoration game. Amen? We need to restore one another. But not only did Paul say you got to be careful with your approach, and that at times you have to stand in the gap as well, and you got to be a friend, and you got to tell the truth to, honestly, you got to tell the truth to both sides at times. Quite sure that folks here have been in that situation where you had to tell some truth here, had to tell some truth there, and you're trying to make it come together. Amen? Trying to make it come together. It may not be a popular message, but you're trying to get that restoration, trying to repair, repatch, mend those relationships. But not only are you to be a good friend, but you also need to be mindful of the fact that you have a caring father. A caring father. And that's what he said through 14 and 16, through 16. He says, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. Let's stop there for a second, because that is putting out another spin on the duty versus love thing, right? Compulsion versus voluntary. Compulsion versus voluntary. You know, we want things done voluntarily. We don't want things done out of duty, out of because I have to, right? You know, the best example I can come up with is, like, say, for example, if a wife, you know, sometimes she wants flowers. Sometimes she, you know, come home and see some flowers there. I love flowers, right? I mean, I like flowers, right? But then all of a sudden you come, you know, all of a sudden you go in your husband's ear, and you say, you know, you never get flowers, and finally you're to a point where you say, man, Somebody likes flowers. I ain't saying who. And all of a sudden, the hint doesn't work, right? Then all of a sudden, you just say, man, I like flowers. Sometimes I like flowers. See, then all of a sudden, you just get flowers, 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 flowers. See, the thing is that it's a different flavor if you never had to say it. If you never had to say it, then all of a sudden, out of love that's gushing in his heart, one day he's just driving by Jacob's and he says, you know what I'm going to do? And he go in there and he spend that money and he come home and she's, ooh, before she get there, yeah, I'm going to beat her there. And then I'm going to get these flowers on the table. And then she come in and then you come in the house and you be like, oh my, I love flowers. I love flowers. Didn't have to say nothing to him. And out of the love in his heart, oh my goodness. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't motivated by your getting on him. It was just the fact that he did it out of the love in his heart. He was just looking out for you. Did you get those flowers, Karen, by the way? I got you. I want to lead by example. So, out of love in my heart, I get those flowers. Don't have to tell me nothing. You get the difference? Paul was looking for a higher motivation than just duty. He said, I don't want you to do it out of compulsion, out of force, or like I'm twisting your arm. I want you to do this because you want to do this, right? You want to do this. You feel that need to do this, Philemon, right? Not a forced thing. And in fact, if you are forced to forgive, is it really forgiveness? Right? God has to twist your arm to go to the brother. Is it really forgiveness? Is it really forgiveness? God wants you to see this thing for what it is. And out of the love that you have for him and you have for that brother or that sister, he wants you to make it right. To make it right. So often we are so preoccupied with the secondary thing rather than the primary thing. The primary thing is this, is that we are to live and behave and do as God wants us to do. And we are to be obedient ourselves and make sure that we do the right thing. But so often we are preoccupied with the secondary thing. And the secondary thing is how God works on the other person's conscience. See, we are busy trying to move the other person's conscience and we're dropping the ball on our court. You get what I'm saying? We're trying to make sure that we move that person when God is having a hard time moving us to do the right thing. So don't get preoccupied with the secondary thing. That secondary thing is a work of God. That's between that person and God. You do what you are supposed to do. You ask for forgiveness, right? You ask for forgiveness, or you try to rectify the situation. At some point, it's between that person and God. How he works his work with his word on that person's conscience. You leave the secondary thing to God. But this is also talking about a caring father. This also tells you that God is in control. This also speaks in regards to God's providence or providence. See, what happened is there was a slave that thought he was running away, right? Onesimus thought he was running away from a situation, but guess where he ran to? He ran to and got in touch with Paul. He ran to exactly where God was wanting him to go, because his salvation was at hand. Right? His salvation was at hand. And we need to understand that too, that through these situations that come our way, these situations of forgiveness, being forgiven, and also, basically forgiving someone too, these situations are presented to us in our lives by God. And they are to help us grow to be more like Christ. How are you going to deal with this situation, sister so-and-so? How are you going to deal with this situation, brother? See, it comes your way, not for nothing, not just because God just said, oh, I just throw this way. No, it's coming your way so that you can deal with it, because you can grow through it instead of go through it. So here it comes, your opportunity to grow. How are you going to deal with it? For one that needs to forgive and for the one who offended, they both need something in those situations. So how are you going to deal with it? When you thought that your plan was to run away, Onesimus, right? You thought it was to run away and everything else. Actually, God is showing his providence, right? He's showing that how he is just in control of this thing. And it reminds us of what Joseph said in Genesis, right? His brothers ended up, and he was a mess, because he just went around just bragging and everything else to his brothers. And his brothers got tired. They got fed up with that bragging stuff, coats of many colors and all this other stuff. And they said, let's sell, let's kill him. And then somebody said, no, let's deal with him another way. Put him in that well, and then all of a sudden, we'll deal with him. The point is he ended up being sold into slavery. And he found himself in Egypt, right? But when it was said and done, he said this in Genesis 45:5. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. God is in control of this situation. So what you are going through, God is in control of this situation. He goes on in the 50th chapter, in the 20th verse, he says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. God is in this thing. When these situations are presented to you, God is in this thing. There is a caring God that is over this matter. And you need to understand that he's trying to bring you to maturity, but he's also trying to bring that fellow believer into maturity as well. He goes on in Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 28th verse, and he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. In each situation, the offender and the forgiver, they're going to school. God is schooling them on something. And he's trying to make you better, to be more like Christ. To be more like Christ. You know, we talked about the approach being careful. And we're talking about a caring approach, I should say. And then we talked about a caring friend, and we're talking about a caring God. And God wants you to understand a message here in this forgiveness thing. You can't count him out the picture just because you're mad at someone else. You can't be like not mindful that's that person's God too. Yeah, he's your God, but he's also that person's God too. That Christian's God as well. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I said, don't play that side thing like God's got my back. God is working in that person's life as well. And he's trying to bring you both into maturity. But we get caught up in these secondary things where we are like, you know, Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb, as if that person is your mountain. Right? And you're looking at that person as some obstacle or something. Right? Rather than realizing that that person has the same God as you. Right? And in closing, I'm reminded of this story. It said an older man was walking in the park, and all of a sudden he sees a little boy sitting on a bench, and the little boy looks kind of like uncomfortable, and he looks like he's in pain. So the man goes up to the boy and he says, "What you doing? What's going on?" And he said, "I'm sitting on a wasp." And the man says, "Why are you sitting on a wasp?" The logical thing is to get up, right? But he says, the boy says in response, "Well, I'm assuming I'm hurting him as much as is he hurting me. Just as much as he's hurting me, I'm hurting him." Some of us think of forgiveness like that, right? Instead of getting up off the thing, we just sit on it. And I'm going to hurt you as much as you have hurt me. You know, yeah, you stinging me, but I'm smushing you. Yeah, you stinging me repeatedly, but at least I'm smushing you. See, the thing is that you got to move. You got to move from that situation. The person can't sting you. You got to get to a situation where you're not being stung, but at the same time, you're not trying to hurt somebody back in the process. Can we move from that? Can we move from that? There are some folks that for years they will keep a grudge. For years they will keep a grudge. And you know what they do in keeping a grudge? They're not about trying to make that person that they have a grudge against to be comfortable. Oh, no, no, no. No, that's the last thing I want to do is get them comfortable. What I want to do, I want to make them pay. So I don't speak to them. Or when you see them, like, and all of a sudden they're in a crowd, they're up there trying to get your attention. Hey, hey. You're like, I know they're waving, but I know they're waving back there. I know they're trying to say hey. But back in 2005, they ain't got no business waving at me right now. See, it's that's going on. And we can't move from that. We can't move from that. And don't get me wrong, it's not like it's major things either. It's not like it's major things. I told her to go to whatever to get me some red polish, and she came back with purple. Girl, she knew that wasn't going to match. She knew that wasn't going to match. She wanted me to look bogue. She wanted me to look bogue. Right? She wanted me to look wrong. That's what she wanted to do. And anybody with some right sense would say, get off that wasp. Get off that wasp. Girl, it was just polish. We got to be better. Let us stand. Let us stand.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.